Alright, let's see if you are still awake and remember what was said before, because I was actually just watching while I'm listening, I was watching you. So, really, always appreciated the fact that I find a pen, a pencil, a notebook, and people are taking notes. That's really, really important, because you perhaps, as you are sitting listening, your mind would wander every now and then. So it's always good to take notes. This is, in the next half hour or so, we are having a Bible study. And I think as Brother John was speaking about the mark of the disciple, that not only they learn, but they are instructed, which is actually mean they are being coached. And what we are doing in a Bible conference is doing these exactly two things. Teaching and instructing you. Because you are the future if the Lord leaves us here. And this is a way to teach you in the days to come how you conduct a Bible study in your local assembly. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Christianity has given up in Bible readings. You don't want to give it up. We need to learn how to do it. Ministry has its place, thank God for it. Lectures have its place, thank God for it. But Bible reading are very, very important. Where, in a public way, brothers will take part, which I'm expecting to happen today, where sister will listen. If they have a question, you could write it on a piece of paper, pass it to a brother, and you would read it. But I want to encourage you that if the Lord leads us here till the end of the day, please, please do not go home with a question that you didn't get an answer for. There are brothers and sisters around who might be a little bit older than you and have some experience in the Word of God to help you out. So please, question regarding the subject or any other question. So I want to encourage you. With that, there are three things, if I could summarize what was said in the first lecture. Three things. So it's easy to remember. I always think of three. Sometimes it makes it easy if I encapsulate them for you so you'd remember. And I will open it up to discussion. The first thing we have learned is that the Lord Jesus wants something, or as Brother John said, desires something. He wants to have disciples. And the question is, do you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? That's the first thing. The Lord Jesus have a desire. He would like to have something. He has done a lot for us. He'd like to have disciples, people who are like him. Sorry, but I'm going to give you an example from work. I have a team of researchers. One of them is a brilliant student, or a brilliant team member. He has a PhD from a very prestigious university. But every time he introduced himself as he graduated, and he mentioned the name of the university. I just don't want to bring, but just the idea. I'm not mentioning names or anything. But he always said that he graduated from Dr. So-and-so lab, who is a Nobel Prize winner. He takes the honor of saying that he was a disciple of a Nobel Prize winner. It's a badge of honor that he is a student of Dr. So-and-so lab, or a disciple, if I'm using the scripture terminology, of Dr. So-and-so lab. You introduce yourself that way? I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus. We are ashamed of it. The Lord Jesus had a desire. The second thing we thought, so the first thing is the desire of the Lord Jesus, and I will open it up for brethren to make comments, for young men to make comments or ask questions. Don't preach, please. It is time for preaching. Make a short comment. This is a coaching thing here. Okay? I love you guys. You're my children, all of you. That's one thing. The second thing we have learned is that a badge of honor, but there's a cost. A privilege and a cost. For discipleship, there is a cost. You want to go to a higher position somewhere, you have to work for it. So Christianity doesn't have a fine print. It's very bold. There is a cost for discipleship. The Lord Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, let him count the cost. So I want to make it very clear to you today. It is not an easy, cheap pathway. But to be a good basketball player, you just don't sit the whole day and watch TV. You go on the court and you play with the big guys and you gain your strength and you sweat and you get tired. But you know what? There is a reward because you want it to be like this big basketball player. So it's an honor, but there is a cost. The third thing we have spoken about is there is a pattern. It's not I charter my own way to be a disciple. In the scripture, the Spirit of God put before us the Lord Jesus. It is not, I did it my way. I'm going to be big and great my way. No, there is one way, only one way, and only one pattern, and only one example. We heard about it in Isaiah chapter 50. So the three things that we have talked about. Number one, the Lord Jesus won us. That's a great love. That's a wonderful thing. He invites you and I to be a disciple. That's number one. Number two, it's a badge of honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but it costs you something. We have heard being saved is by the grace of God. It's free. It's free for you, but it wasn't free. The Lord Jesus paid the ultimate price. Number three, it's costly. It's going to require some work on your part. Not to be saved, but some work on your part. To be disciplined, because that's where disciple comes from. And the third thing, we have a pattern to follow. Those are the three portions that was read to us this morning. In a very short way, in a very brief way. So you get what is. With that, I'm going to open it up. By the way, one of the fascinating things about being a disciple, it is not only for males. Half of the conference here, half of the room here are sisters. Half of the room are brothers. Wonderful. When we talk about disciple, we don't talk about just male. Do you know that in the scripture, there is a word for female disciple? It is mentioned in the book of Acts, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, because you're going to find it out. A female disciple, and if you know it after, come and tell me, I'll give you one of the magazines toward the morning for free. And I'll give some candy too. You tell me who is in the scripture, was called a disciple, is a female disciple in the scripture. So it's for all of you. So let's have an open up. Appreciate the brethren for help a little bit with comments, with questions, and let's get this Bible study going.
I have a question. Kind of more practical. So we kind of started off by talking about discipleship, and kind of we said it's not about how we come off as, but it's what's in the heart. And I was kind of listening to something, and it said sometimes the biggest obstacle is not the people around us, but ourselves. So kind of in a practical way, what are some things you found effective in your own life to kind of, when that flesh is warring against the spirit, that you can kind of turn down the volume of like the flesh to kind of like... not combat, like combat, I guess. So, like, what are some practical things you found effective in your life?
You're going to have to hold Jesus as our example.
As we sit in the Bible conference, we're going to hear, because we're going to hear about hindrance to discipleship, and we're going to hear about evidence of discipleship in that next session. Excellent question, Sam, and I really appreciate it because it's really, really important. But I'm not going to answer it now. I'm going to let the brethren speak here. And none of them are going to speak about their own experience, by the way. I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to talk about the Lord Jesus. So help me, brethren. Please don't be quiet because I could speak. Spoke about that, the admission to the school is through baptism. And apparently that school only accepts dead people. School that accepts only dead people to the world. And life people, people who walk in that newness of life. I need some help a little bit of the first step is the matter, and I don't want to talk about baptism really, but the first step of being, having gone through death, and come in the newness of life to be admitted to the school. Can somebody help me with that, young or old, please?
I understood the question of Sam, that he is speaking about the struggle inside him between the desires of the flesh and between the Spirit of God that's working in the new man, which is born of God. And he has this struggle. And I want to say that you are not alone in this. But as long as we are in this flesh here, so we will continue to have this with us throughout our lives. And we have to have that clear before our eyes. We reach to a point in our life when we share Paul, because he was in Romans 7, he said, "Oh, I'm a rich man. Who can save me?" And he reached to that point that now he has inside him that desire of the flesh that continue to act and nag the new man in me who wants to serve God only and wants to be a disciple to Christ. So that will be a now continuous struggle. And now I think it would be in a practical way. Some will bring the illustration of a pig that's tied to an eagle, and who you are feeding every day. Who are you instructing every day? So if the new man is being instructed by the Word of God every day, being fed, if that's the eagle, he will take that flesh and soar up. And if we keep dwelling into the earthly things and feed the pig here, the earthly desires, then unfortunately I will be living as one of these people and that discipleship will not be shown. So in a way it is a commitment and it is a decision and it is a conscious knowledge of the perfect work of Christ which is accounted to me. I have to realize that that flesh already was crucified with Christ. God has counted the death of Christ to me. And I have to live in the good of that, that whenever my hands say, do it, I say that it died. It died already on the cross. I don't own it anymore. And live in the newness of life that, so it is an exercise that we live here on earth every day. And that's why if the Lord Jesus as a perfect man said morning by morning how much we all need it, that really be morning by morning, be instructed through the Word of God, how to feed the new man and how to live the spiritual life of a true disciple to the Lord.
The brothers referencing Romans 6. So if you turn there, you might find a little help.
You want to read verse 11?
I'm going to read verse 6.
Read verse 6 and read verse 11.
You turn to Romans 6. I'm going to read verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. In verse 11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was just thinking that even when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, the enemies, the chief priests and all these, they were mocking him, right? Challenging him to come down and so on. And we know that our blessed Lord would not. He loved us and he finished the work. He died and he rose again. But our old man, it says there, right? And you can think of that in many different ways. Sure, other brothers can expound on it. But just think of the old man as the part of you that you were before you were Christian, whenever that was. All the old stuff. The old self. That's crucified. And he's hanging there. It doesn't say he's dead. That's why you have to reckon yourself dead. You have to act as if all you have, the only life you have, is your life in Christ. That's exactly what Paul says. I live my life in Christ only. Christ liveth in me, actually, is what he says. Take himself out of it. So, practically speaking, would you climb up the cross and join this old man there? And hang on to him and want to enjoy those things that have nothing to do with Christ? Or to be, not we see the old man on a cross. It's not Christ we're talking about now. We're talking about verse 6. The old man hanging there languishing. We're going to leave him there. We're not going to walk back and examine. We can, in fact, maybe mock him a little bit. Maybe, step on your sins a little bit. Right? Think of your sins in an awful way. This is not something I want to touch. I want to avoid it. I want to hate sin. I want to leave the old man there on the cross. Let him die. Let him die. Hang there until I'm joined with Christ. Then I won't have to worry about the old man anymore. I think sometimes we look back at that old man and say, you know what? Let me just go over there and snuggle up a little bit. That's not for us.
So three things in Romans 6. You want to write them down? Three things. Keep reminding yourself of that all the time. Because again, we are being admitted to the school of God. And I'm not going to go in your order that is in the scripture, but I'll go in your order first. You are buried, that's verse 4. You are crucified, that's verse 6. And you are dead in verse 8. Verse 11. You are buried, you are crucified, and you're dead. Let me take them in a different order. You're crucified, as Kevin was saying, you're helpless. You're dead. You cannot respond to anything. You're buried. You're out of sight. Keep your things in your mind like that. So when things come up to distract you, wait a second. My thing cannot move. My legs cannot move. I am crucified with Christ. This is a mindset. Because your hand could move. And your leg could move. The second thing is that you are dead. Get a dead person here. Probably heard me saying that before. Hey, there's good food in there. Come on. You think he'll get up and move? Does he respond to anything? He's dead. So when sin comes in, you're dead. But then you're buried. You're outside completely. So Christ could come in the picture completely. Okay? Crucified, dead, and buried. Three things to admit you into the school of God. That's what the basic foundation, the prerequisite. You have to have a prerequisite courses to be admitted to school. So the prerequisite are three courses. Okay? The first thing is that you're crucified. The second one, you're dead. The third thing, you're back. You're completely out of sight. Got it? Is it clear? All right. Now, just to move us on, Unless somebody else has any other comments on the matter of admission to school. Go ahead, John.
I just want to give a minute to see if there is any further thought from the young ones. I just want to remind you, we have 7 more minutes, so young brother, be encouraged. You know, if you have a question or comment, say it now so that we can move on.
I did just want to mention quickly, so I'll let you mention some of the points that you touched on there. And two of them were the cost of discipleship, and the other one was, in a way, mimicking the Lord Jesus and how he approached this. And I know in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a lot of people mentioned in regards to faith, but at the end of the chapter, from 35 to 38, we have like a subset with a different population that really, they counted the cost of discipleship, and they mimicked the Lord. I don't want to say to the T, obviously, but they mimicked the Lord in some of these things. And throughout chapter 11, we have, you know, all these men and women that did great works of faith. And even, you know, from 31 through 35, we have people that aren't necessarily mentioned, but the Lord did great things on their behalf, and they were faithful. But then again, from halfway through 35, through 37, we have a different population. And halfway through 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And you know, what better, more literal way to mimic the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus, you know, we read, could call legions of angels. He didn't have to go to the cross, but out of, you know, the will of the Father and him being the perfect disciple, he did these things anyway. And at the very end, at the beginning of verse 38, this is speaking from God's perspective, not the perspective of man, of whom the world was not worthy. And, you know, we mentioned that we are not better than anybody in this world. We're all human. We're all born into sin. We're all prone to the same mistakes. But we would have recorded here of these men and women that God would look on them and say, the world was not worthy of them. So what better way to demonstrate counting the cost of discipleship and mimicking the Lord and his discipleship as well, that God the Father would look down and say the world is not worthy of this person.
You know, just to make a point as well, you know, spoke about being admitted to school. Many of us, you know, we go to school for learning, and, you know, some of us do medicine, some of us do law, some of us do business, and we are acquiring knowledge to function. You know, Brother John spoke earlier, and he described the disciple as somebody who is a learner. In the same Gospel of John 14 and verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, as a child growing up, I remember a good story. It is called Hansel and Gretel. And most of us know Hansel and Gretel. And, you know, the story is told about a child who was lost in a forest. And she would drop breadcrumbs on a trail so that she would remember her way home. But because it was breadcrumbs, I guess, you know, someone would have ate up the breadcrumbs and she was lost. And, you know, the question is, how do we know the path back home? Most of us have a GPS system, and we're able to, you know, put an address, and we can get directions to a home. But the only way you can know your way back home is by knowledge. And we sung a song this morning that says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The understanding is that we are living in a world that is lost, a world that is separate, a world that has gone drastically wrong, a world that is distant from its creator. And the question is, how do you get back to a place where you once were? How do you get back to a place called home? And the only way you can get back is if I shrink the way, if I give you the knowledge so that you can understand your way back to where you came from. And the Lord Jesus described himself as the way, you know. and it's about going to a school, as Brother Amy was mentioning, admitting to a school as a disciple where I can acquire a knowledge base that puts me back to where I was. I am lost. I am separated from, you know, my home. And the question is, as a young person, how do I get back home? You know, and as a disciple, my understanding is that I have to acquire a knowledge base about who I am and where I was and how do I get back there. So a disciple is somebody who is trying to acquire the knowledge of Christ that we might be able to find a way back home.
Just to
add two verses to underline this idea of being a disciple. The words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29, just to read an expression in the verse. And learn of me. The Lord Jesus is saying to learn of him. And then in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 24, at the end of the verse, and follow me. There is the cost that we talked about, but there is the idea of learning of him and following him. And just one more verse in Acts, Mark chapter 3. How can we learn of him or from him? And verse 14, just an expression in that verse. He called them, and then it says that they should be with him. And I think that's the key. Being with the Lord, we can learn from him.
Quickly again, admitting to the school through that, accompanying the Lord Jesus, as Edric is telling us, okay, to be with him, to learn of him, having him as our pattern, and it's really important. Vic, may I make a suggestion very quickly before we close in prayer? I'm going to give you a challenge. We have four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most of you are done with school. And you have 4 months in the summer. Would you do me a favor? Would you do yourself a favor? Could you go through the four Gospels in the next few months? And just read about the Lord Jesus. And as you read, just don't look at history or go to history. Or just some facts. Are you with me? Or go to history. Could you look at the Lord Jesus in the four Gospels? That is exactly to be with him. Sam, I hope we answered your question. It was an excellent question and we covered it from different angles. So I really appreciate that. Hopefully things are clear. And this is just the beginning of the day. Still have 2 more lectures and another group discussion. But in between, have lunch. So I would appreciate if I have a brother, close in prayer and give thanks for the food, please.